morning, everyone. Today, we are tracking the FCC's potential import ban on Chinese optical transceivers. This ban may have may impact hyperscaler AI companies as optical transceiver are key to AI speed and efficiency. This potential ban follows a broader trend of U.S. restriction on Chinese imports. We have already seen strict rules on solar inverters and advanced robotics based on production base. The U.S. also imposed heavy duties on solar cells and global tariffs on polysilicon. Today we will discuss on how these rising trade barriers could affect Chinese and U.S. optical transceivers companies and also the supply chain. So today I'm pleased to invite Tina Wong, our head of China Tech and Communication Research Analyst, Papa, our U.S. semiconductor and tech hardware research analyst, as well as Ino Song, Japan machinery research analyst. So, investors, if you have any questions, you can leave your questions in the box on the right hand side or send me an email at bella.tm@citi.com. So I will go with my first question to Tina. Hi, Tina. As you mentioned in your report, seven of the top 10 global optical transceivers are Chinese companies, which supply over 50% of the high-speed optical modules to major U.S. CSPs. Do you think this possible ban more procedure-based or allocation-based? What is the impact on this potential ban for Chinese players from you, do you think?
Yeah, thanks, Bella. This is Tina Wong, covering Hong Kong China Tech. And I actually published like two reports. First, we have one on 4th August, basically just like a quick thought on those news published by like Reuters. And also we dig out like more detail from the FCC 26-50, the published document to look at the regulatory architecture. And we visit these cover lease and mechanism and the implications on live August. So in our report, we adjust that the two mechanisms in the like cover the lease. So one is producer and or like provider based approach. We see that in Chinese, in Chinese company, Huawei and ZTE, those are banned by FCC. And which is based on producer's base. And the second in the category is a production location base. So we see that those are some category that made outside US were actually added to this kind of like FCC ban. They adjusted some kind of like UAS, like routers, like inverters, and some advanced robot that are added in this category. So I think the question is what kind of like restriction will add on like optical transceivers? Honestly, I think during the tariff like trade war, this kind of a like, situation, optical transceiver at the end added like the exemptions. We think that because this is also critical in the supply chain for those like AIDC, like I would say the development or buildings, etc. And this is because they are actually playing a role for interconnect between these the key signals interact in the data center. And if like FCC 26350 is kind of like a reference to the potential ban, then we believe that even right now there's no mention, there's no exact like loose adding on the optical transceiver in the FCC ban, but they probably still mention a little bit in terms of context of the proposed hardware and software bomb that to adjust the optical transceiver name there, but not a restriction. So I think there's several like situation. If we assume that they probably will add from a producer or like provider base, then that will impact a lot to the supply chain because, as I mentioned, seven out of like top 10 like optical transceivers like globally are Chinese. And also like if talking about the supply, I think over 50% or more specific than maybe almost like 60-70%, because we see like number one and also Optolink, this is already two names out of top three. Their contribution is also like contribution is already over 30% last year's, which is based on like the dollar content. And you can imagine that the shipment must be like higher than that, I mean, for the global ranking. And if we talk about the demand side, I think when the US data centers demand account for the overall datacom optical transceiver demand, it must be like over 50%, because like it's definitely for the high because of the high speed like optical transceiver carry high content, carry like high ASP as well. So that means like if you have restriction on the producer base, that will actually cause a severe like shortage in the supply to the US market, because this is a big demand market. The second is if we consider the production location based approach, then it depends if it's actually restricting the entire product category made outside US, or they are actually restricting certain production in certain area. So maybe they focus on long China area, or they focus on more about the American area, etc. I mean, we don't know at the end how they do this kind of like production base. But because a module is kind of like more back-end process that involve like labor. And we also know that the automation, complete automation is working, is actually approaching among the supply chain. So for example, AAOI is actually getting this kind of like set up in their new facility. They have like several plants in the pan, and the first two lines they're talking about to reach around 650K monthly capacity in kind of like a high automation side approach. We also see like the Chinese side EMS maker, like last year, is also making a automation line in Vietnam for optical transceiver business as well, product as well. But I think right now the majority in the
请关注公众号思维纪要社，更多纪要请加 VCN20210130。
The industry is still like semi-auto. That means they probably have like very high automation in the front end process, but like more about they need more laborers in the back end process, because they provide more flexibility for different, because I communications like optical transceivers had actually explained this kind of like high SKU. That means very high numbers of SKU, a lot of like different config. Except when now the AI era, then they will see that CSP probably will having a much more concentrated SKU than in the past. But I still think that the SKU depends on the data center design. I mean, each one. So that's why it's still like quite need more flexibility. And on the current capacity at this point of time in the market, a lot is actually under the semi automation instead of like full automation. So if there is restricted location base like outside US, then that will cause a severe shortage in the supply, and the cost will surge a lot in our understanding. And if they are just banning like the China export, then I think it's easier, because a lot of the Chinese optical transceiver has the facility in outside China, like Thailand or like Vietnam or like Taiwan, etc. So I think in that cases, that will help. And also some EMS provider, they have some facility in Mexico that will help the CSP try to reallocate some of the capacity allocation from their supply chain to some Mexico approach. approach one. So that's also possible outcome if they really just like restricting outside. I mean, restricting the location is actually on China export. Then that was the case. But nevertheless, I would say just like to our coverage, we cover component and also module. So we see that the impact just based on their business nature, then TFC, Shuzhou TFC seems has a relatively less direct impact because they provide the passive component like FAU or like optical engine to the module maker based in Thailand and also a non-Chinese maker. So we believe their impact is like the least likely. And then we also have like our team also cover the module maker like Dongsan Precision, eOptolink, and they're also exposed to the US customer, and they will face like these like uncertainty in the near term as well, given we don't know how the FCC will rule out this kind of like restriction in the future. And that's why we see in the share price on the module side among Asia optical transceiver, they are experiencing some kind of like overhang here from this FCC, and the performance is actually lagging versus our US peers in the near term. But the TFC is actually more a name that exposed to the CPO chain, so that's why their performance is actually much better given this like recent timeline is the CPO MPO like expectation increase like moment. I stop here and then maybe I would like pass back to you or to proper to further adjust on this impact.
Okay, thank you, Tina, for giving the scenario analysis on this possible ban. So hi Papa, may I know the optical interconnect supply mix in US, and what is the impact on this potential ban for US players such as the wafer or laser players, and under current supply chain consequences, when could US companies such as Coherent fill the supply gap left by Chinese players? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Bella, and good morning or afternoon, depending on where you are. Kina did a great job on kind of framing the entire restriction, what kind of angle it could take in terms of the where the business is from or where the more of the manufacturing is coming from. In terms of perhaps I can start with the supply chain itself. I think the supply chain of optical transceivers is quite a complex one. It starts from typically from the bare material that's used is called indium phosphide. Typically, most of it, from our understanding, perhaps 70% plus is coming from China. And then those very kind of material are transformed into wafers. And there, our understanding is even accounting, I guess, a company like AXEI, who technically is perceived as a US company, but it's a subsidiary of a Chinese company, 100% subsidiary of a Chinese company as well. So if we put that in the Chinese budget, you have around 40 to 50% of the wafers are coming from China as well, and then from the wafer you go to the laser makers, and the number one laser maker or among the number one or two laser makers are companies like Lumentum and Broadcom. There is fairly U.S. centric or at least non-China centric type of companies. So that's your Lumentum, that's your Sumitomo type of companies. And then ultimately you get to your transceivers, which kind of Kina detailed very well that perhaps more than 60 or 50% at the very least, is coming from China. And even taking the other angle of where manufacturing is coming from, Lumentum and Coherent have both been pushing, to have their manufacturing kind of away, sometimes from China, in areas such as Malaysia or Thailand, for example. But, for both of them, kind of, they have at least 20% exposure still in terms of place in which they manufacture either their lasers or their transceivers from China as well. So perhaps what I'm getting at is even for US companies, it's almost impossible to disassociate kind of how intertwined the China supply chain is to the US. And the other thing I really want to double click is I think that it's important to mention that the restriction is still a proposal, so it's a potential restriction. So the key question as well is, would it turn into actually a full restriction? And our kind of internal view is it's very unlikely due to kind of how intertwined the supply chain is, because from everything we saw so far, when typically a restriction happened on one side, from the US, it typically we have a retaliation on the other side. And when 70% of the bare material is coming from China, you can easily see how that can completely cripple the data center build in total. As Kina mentioned, you cannot build AI data centers without transceivers or without optics. So to me, it's very unlikely in our view that kind of this restriction, at least at face value, would be kind of turned into a full proposal. Now let's take the kind of hypothetical case in which it ends up being pushed, because you never know. Coherent is typically seen as the key winner on the US side, because they are probably number two or number three in terms of transceivers behind kind of EOptolink and the number one Chinese transceiver company. But as I mentioned earlier, I think for even them, they still have 30% of their kind of transceiver manufacturing in China as well. So if it's a location based, they still would kind of lose 30% of their potential opportunity. Plus, they are super kind of tied to, in terms of the lasers, they use most of their lasers internally, but part of their lasers is coming from companies like Lumentum, who most of their sourcing, when you go to the bare material, is also coming from China. So I think even for a company that is perceived as a key winner, if the proposal was to go through, would kind of still have a significant impact on kind of the restriction. Now, one thing that could be positive for them, and that's what they mentioned yesterday during their call, Coherent specifically, was just the proposal, even if it doesn't go through, might be enough for hyperscalers to think about readjusting their longer term mix. So for example, if they thought about perhaps allocating 40, 50, 60% to China-based transceiver makers, they might kind of want to reduce it a little bit, is what Coherent kind of seems to insinuate during their call. So just the proposal of it could be enough for hyperscalers to kind of always look to allocate more to Coherent moving forward as well.
I got it. Thank you, Papa. So my next question will go to Inno-san. So what's the impact on this potential ban for Japan upstream suppliers such as Misumi as well as Yokogawa? Does Misumi supply all those automated stages to Chinese customers right now? Is there any chance that they could also supply to U.S. customers maybe in the future? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Vera, and thank you everyone for joining the call today. I'm Takahiro Inoue covering Japanese machinery sector. As Vera pointed out, within my coverage, there are mainly two names which are kind of relevant to optical transceiver supply chain. The main name, the name that people usually talk about it, is Misumi 9962. Basically, this is factory automation company which sells their components, automation-related components, to many manufacturing customers. But they have one product called automated stages. They sell these products to mainly Chinese optical transceiver customers. Bera asked me about the exposure by end customer for this business, and I understand the answer for that would be like almost 100% is Chinese optical transceiver customers right now for this business, for Misumi. For this fiscal year, they are guiding for around a little bit more than 20 billion revenue this fiscal year regarding this automated stages revenue. This is actually around 4-5% of the total revenue, which sounds quite small. However, based on Misumi's comments, it's very, very high margin business. It's one of the highest margin business across all their products. I guess that it's actually double of factory automation segment margin, so which is probably close to 25-30% operating profit margin. So that means automated stages estimated profit would be around a little bit less than 10% of total Misumi, which is probably like makes us think maybe it's also kind of important to think about this business and growth potential from this going forward. Right now, basically, as I told you, like they have only like Chinese optical transceiver customers. However, a few months ago when I talked with the president of Misumi, he mentioned that they are kind of in negotiation, in discussion with U.S. Transceiver manufacturers as well. So going forward, there's a potential that Misumi will sell these automated stages to the U.S. customers as well. So for your information, these automated stages are not a part of like the optical transceiver itself. So it's not a component or something like that. It's basically like a unit product being used for the production line of optical transceiver manufacturing production line. Yeah. So going forward, if these customers, the Chinese or U.S. Transceiver makers are going to increase CapEx or build new fabs, then it's highly likely that the Misumi will benefit from it. Because of the potential ban from the U.S. government on importing Chinese data center components, including optical transceiver, the share price for Misumi went down a bit just after the news because of the concern. I also think probably it's going to be slightly negative news if this ban actually happens, but the uncertainty is still high. And if they succeed to sell the products to the U.S. customers, the impact would be very small and maybe could be even positive in longer term. So we have to keep cross-watch on this news regarding this Misumi as well. And also another name which is relevant is 6841 Yokogawa. They have the second largest business called measuring instrument segment business. And within this, they are manufacturing product called optical spectrum analyzers. So these are also used for inspection or production line, inspection processes within the production line of optical transceiver manufacturing customers. And I understand that their orders have been relatively strong year to date because of Chinese optical transceiver customers giving orders to them a lot. This business is very small, so it's only like 2% of the total orders for last fiscal year. But this is also high margin business. But in terms of like a total like profit exposure, I guess that the Misumi has a lot larger exposure to Chinese optical transceiver customers or related business right now. Yeah. Now back to you, Bella. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Inosan. We got two questions from our clients. The first is for Kina. Do you think the top two Chinese optical transceiver companies' market share in NVIDIA and CSPs will be decreasing in long term, such as in 2028 to 2030? Would this how would this impact their valuation? Thank you.
Good question. Okay. So I think it depends on two things. One is about the technology migration. That means beyond 1.6T, the progress towards maybe 2.4T or like V1.2T, these are key CSP and AI customers, how they will migrate to, I mean, the speed and also at that time, the technology maturity is also important. And second is more about the form factor as well. Maybe in the future, the pluggables will also migrate to CPO, MPO. That definitely will change the landscape as well. So towards like the pluggable, I think first, number one, optical transceiver, the market share at current stage is already, if based on light counting, is around 21.2% in 2025. So if the shipment wise is actually higher than this number, it's a global space. I mean, it's a global market share. So it sounds like it's tough like to further, but I think product mix will help them to boost these kind of number continuously along with the spec upgrade. And because they have the leadership in the spec in the early engagement in those some new spec or like new form factor, etc. So likely they will stay in the dollar content or even further improve on that. But if like based on some mature technology at the end, let's say 800G seems like getting more competition right now, more player joining, I think the position for them is actually seeing it's hard to further gaining this kind of market share or share allocation in the mature technology. Even like 1.6T, because the initial share allocation is quite high at this point of time, like the, we can see, for example, the 1.6T, EML base, like, the optical transceivers, the supply is very limited, and then it's not from not much. Maybe it's number the 500 is the one, and also we see, but second photonic, the number one is actually leading there. But because the initial player is filler, so that's the market share or share allocation will be quite high. And but after that, you see more player are capable to be qualified, to be like supplying, then definitely share allocation is hard to further boost. So the next one is like how they can get into the new spec, like 2.4T or like 3.2T. At that time, they can still become the major player at the beginning for the new spec or new bandwidth or like some new form factor like MPO, etc. Then they will capture the high market share. And then that this kind of like product mix has a high ASP will help them to stay the leadership in the dollar content side. But in the shipment wise, I think it would depends on the speed of the CSP migrating to the new technology. I think the opting also will face some competition in terms of like some Chinese also expanding in their customer. For example, like Dongshan Precision also getting into like Amazon or Matter. I mean, this kind of like supply chain. Of course, it will still take time. It will still like take time for them to prove the delivery on the 800G, and also in the future maybe the qualification of 1.6T. We don't know. But I think opting definitely. Because they are having in the middle of this kind of situation, so they probably will face some competitions in the lower tiers, optical transceiver, new player transceiver into these key CSPs customers. But I agree that like Papa mentioned, if the FCC is something US wanted to control the supply chain, then eventually. We'll see some cap for the Chinese render among the CSP players in the longer term.
Okay, thank you, Kina. There are another two questions for Kina. The first is how much does OT make up for total server cost? Is there pricing pressure going forward for leaders such as the leaders in your coverage? And the second question is, how do you see competition landscape in optical transceivers in China? For example, LuxShare is joining, and what about your competition advantage sustainable for under your coverage?
Okay. Good question, because that maybe also touch a bit on the Papa side, and he can actually add. Okay. So first, in terms of like the optical interconnect content in the AIDC, I think, it's around like, 5-6% ranges, but along with like the, scale up, adding into the opportunity for the optical interconnect, then the cost of the AIDC, I mean from the optical side, will actually increase maybe from currently 5% to 6%, and then we're moving like to like 7-8% or even 9% something. We heard like from the supply chain those leader that mentioned eventually can even go to like 10%, maybe in 2030 or beyond this kind of like horizon. So I think like the overall the cost is actually increasing to the overall the capacity from the data center, because currently I cannot give you something like to the server because it's more about scale up. So at this point of time, the scale up is not fully commercialized. I think maybe we need to evaluate more about what kind of a solution like CPO or like MPO. But to the AIDC CapEx, I think this is just a ballpark number for your reference. And then going forward is like the pricing pressure, along with like the bandwidth, the new bandwidth like migration getting more stabilized, more mature, then you will expect the module guide will experience a normal ASP decline in the past. So if looking at the past, like, 5, 10 years, I mean, maybe 5, 6 years with like, Chinese competition in the optical transceivers, like, industry, then these guys actually experience like, kind of like 25% plus and minus 5%, this kind of like ASP decline for apple to apple like product every year. And, but because the, if you look at the 800G, this kind of technology that already, unveiled that or like launched from Intel, like even before 2020, like maybe 2018 or 19. And, but at that time, this technology is still very emergent, like silicon photonic technology. And now I think, only like 23, 24 is the years that 800G is actually picking up. So, at that time during this kind of like, technology migration was quite slow at that period. The competition was so severe during like that time, like Eoptolink was an aggressive player moving from like, maybe number 7, in 2021 towards like number 3 in 2025. So Eoptolink is an aggressive player in the past and they caused a lot of like pricing pressure. So definitely if like the technology migration slowed down and we always have Chinese maker, this kind of like aggressive player in the market, then the ASP, based on Apple to pay Apple like situation, then I think investor will actually believe that it will experience another kind of like 25% or even 25 to 30% this kind of like ASP erosion in the future on the Apple to Apple basis. And so I think important thing is that going forward in the next few years, we see the migration will continue like towards maybe NPO or 2.4T or even 2T, etc. This kind of migration will be, the cycle will be shortened than previously, like 400G to 800G. That took like more than 4 or 5 years. I mean, to really, starting from the launch to the commercial ramp up. I think that at least driving the recent years, the ASP stability, the shortage that's driving the ASP more stable, in the near term. But in the future, the new tech migration is important. The spec upgrade is important for the pricing situation. And your competition landscape, I would just add more is that, as I mentioned, in the past, we know Eoptolink is an aggressive like player driving the ASP erosion in the past when the demand was softening, including after 5G, after the last like CapEx cycle. And then right now, not sure joining, yeah, from your question, yes. And, but I think the, first, like, we are restricted on number one again, but I would say is like, I think last year is helping the customer, the CSP customer to, fulfill their rapid ramp up in their supply chain capacity because we see like certain player are a little bit lagging. For example, CloudLight, which is under Lumentum. Maybe Papa can also talk about this capacity expansion. But I think, in the past we see this is one of the lagging. And so I think, along with like the TPU roadmap is more aggressive and the, and also shipment pick up a lot. I think the numbers of the transceivers is also, the demand for this customer is actually increasing a lot. So they need another vendor to provide more like, kind of like supply, security for the customer, for the CSP. And also the automation capability is like last year's like strength. So that's why, I think, the customer, the CSP customer buy in this kind of like full automation side idea from the strong EMS player. And they are not a new player. They are actually already got their vendor cook. So it's actually okay with DCSP. So I think it's another story. I think the fit is actually not really to the number one player because they continue to engage in the latest technology like the 2.4T or even OCS or like, the other like NPO stuff as well.
Okay. Papa, could you also contribute your view for this question?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, happy to touch on it. And I think Ina kind of discussed it, explained it very, very well. Typically, we used to have 20, 25% price erosion. But now, what we see, and it's mostly due to the tightness around the lasers, which Lumentum provide probably the majority of it with Broadcom. the supply-demand gap, and even on Tuesday, the company doubled down on the supply-demand gap is still 30% plus. And it might kind of remain there or around that numbers over the next.
请关注公众号思维纪要社，更多纪要请加 VCN20210130.
Two, perhaps even 3 years. So I think that is helping the transceivers being in demand, and whenever a device is in demand, typical law of economics, the pricing can be kind of sustained at a longer term. And as Kina mentioned earlier, you have a mix of 1.6T coming, but also a mix of very new technologies like CPO and NPO. So in aggregate per GPU, pricing is very important on a like-for-like basis. And I think that will be probably maintained for longer term, because 800 gig, to our understanding and talking to management, will remain the top speed type of transceivers going into 27, and perhaps 2028 is when we will see, 1.6T surpass 800 gig in terms of volume. But I think one important metric to look at for these companies generally is the dollar content per accelerator. Perhaps one device could see pricing coming down or be maintained, but the dollar content per accelerator is significantly improving, because at least for the companies like Lumentum and Coherent, they provide more and more opportunities. Typically, optical was mostly used for server-to-server connectivity. But as Kina mentioned, starting from late 27, 2028, you'll start to see scale up. So this is a brand new TAM opportunity for optical, because it used to be copper for the most part. So now it will be replaced slowly to optical. So I think the content per accelerator is improving. The second piece, and this is perhaps us also covering names like NVIDIA and so on, what we are seeing recently is a disaggregation of the compute. Typically, you had one GPU doing everything within the server, and the server kind of slowly became larger and larger. We went from 8 GPU server to 72. But now we are seeing this move towards kind of more and more servers that needs to be connected. And whenever you think of servers being connected, transceivers typically is the first of mine. And that is, for example, now we have standalone CPU servers that NVIDIA is working on. We have now standalone memory servers NVIDIA is working on. We have this idea of, for even AI compute, you have decode and prefill. So even compute is being divided now into two different servers that needs to be interconnected again with transceivers as well. So I think all of those are severely improving the demand, and that should help pricing. And quickly to touch on Lumentum / CloudLight, I think CloudLight for context used to be a standalone company, and it was later on acquired by Lumentum, whom is doing a good job trying to ramp capacity. They were very transparent, saying the yields weren't the best, and it's kind of tied to what Kina was saying earlier. So they weren't doing excellent job kind of stepping up and being an important player. Now the yields are getting much better, so that is being kind of one of the reasons why Lumentum is willing to kind of ramp on the transceiver. But they mentioned the margins for the transceiver business for Lumentum specifically is lower than their laser businesses or their CPO businesses. So they still put a cap into how much they want that business to grow, but it is slowly becoming a more and more important kind of part of player in the ecosystem. So you can think of CloudLight as roughly 5% or so of the market at this point.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Kina, Papa, and Ino-san for your valuable view today. We will closely watch what will happen for this potential ban. And I also want to highlight two calls that will happen in an hour. At 10 a.m. Hong Kong time, we will have a call on battery backup units for AIDC, and we will invite Angela and also Fujiwa Sound to talk about this. And in 10:30 Hong Kong time, we will also have the call back on Lenovo with Kina, as well as our tech specialist, Narva. So thank you so much for your time today. Our call will be end here. Thank you.